Welcome to familiar folks. Welcome to some of you who haven't been here in a while, and welcome anybody who's new. So happy you found your way to this, what feels like a sweet midday, midweek opportunity to gather with like-minded, like-hearted friends who are exploring how to live in this world with more clarity and more compassion. Yeah. And the world has been exceedingly generous in recent years with opportunities to practice, hasn't it? There's just so much that's here. And as some of you know, often a theme will bubble forward and we'll work with a theme for a while, a number of weeks, and one has presented itself, which is working with the habits of mind that are understood through the framework of what's known as the five hindrances. And we just last week kind of began with an overview. And if any of you end up interested, the recordings of previous weeks, including last week, are on the website. So you could always circle back and listen. And we always begin with a practice. So we'll do that here. And I invite you to begin to settle in, and to really let this be our practice, of landing in the moment. You know, sometimes there's this, when we hear, okay, we're going to sit, there's almost like this automatic rigidity of like we sit up and we close our eyes and we settle. And sometimes that's perfection. But sometimes, given the state of our minds or our bodies, there's a little bit more of a process of discovery, like discovering the landing process. So that might include a looking around. Sometimes in these anxiety-provoking times, beginning eyes open and letting ourselves orient is supportive. It's a way of speaking sometimes to our animal body, that even though the mind might know there's no immediate threat, the animal body can carry the tensions of what our world is offering us. And after looking around, including looking over each shoulder, there might be a sense of, okay, now, coming forward and perhaps softening the gaze or closing the eyes. And what I often notice is that after looking around, sometimes there's a spontaneously slightly deeper breath and a little bit of involuntary releasing in the nervous system. And as you settle, letting yourself feel and receive the support being offered by the earth beneath you, the chair or the cushion underneath or behind you. And seeing if there's a way to let your body soften or settle a little more fully. And And from that place of the ease of being supported, allowing there to be perhaps a slight lengthening through the spine, inviting in this quality of alertness. So there's an alive, relaxed presence as we rest into this moment. Finding a home base, an anchor point for your attention to rest into in a gathered way. And it might be the felt sense of the breath is most stabilizing today. The breath moving through the body as a whole. Perhaps the breath in a particular focal point. The rise and fall of the belly. And the expansion and release of the rib cage. The subtle coolness or warmth at the nostrils. Connecting with the breath in whatever location, in whatever way, allows for a measure of both ease and enjoyment. And if somehow the breath is not the anchor that's most supportive or steadying, letting your own experience guide you to an alternative anchor. Maybe the felt sense of the hands wherever they rest. Or the soles of the feet. Or the felt sense of the body as a whole. as we rest in this companionable silence, letting your anchor, breath or body, be a place to come home, to roost, to rest. So that each time the mind takes flight, you have a place to come home to. And whether the mind flies a short distance, or across a vast expanse of time and space in the mind, there's this nest of breath or body to come home and nestle into, to know intimately. just noticing. Where's your attention in this moment? Has it taken flight into fantasy, planning, daydreaming? Perhaps before flying back to the nest of your anchor of breath or body, letting yourself notice the energy in the experience of the mind that's taken flight. The wanting mind that can so easily follow interest or an urge, a distraction. Just noticing, what's it like? Is there ease or tension? In that flight of fancy, there's something pleasant or satisfying. So not necessarily getting tangled in the details of the content of where the mind's flown to, but noticing the energy of the experience. And then, when you're ready, flying back and nesting into contact with the breath, some other anchor in the body. And as we continue to practice together, if the mind takes flight again, perhaps noticing the energy before coming back to the anchor. we come toward the final minutes of our practice today, you might consider how this capacity to watch the wanting and the wandering of the mind, this capacity for steadying and stabilizing awareness in an anchor, might be a gift of stability in the swirl of changing, uncertain circumstances in the world. A capacity to watch the ways that wanting and wandering contribute to the uncertainty, and that your personal stability of mind and heart might contribute to a steadying and safety for all beings, a creation of a world where all beings know peace, ease, and freedom. May it be so. So good to be with you, friends. So this theme that we're beginning to explore in this new series around habits of mind and these five habits that are articulated in the teachings of what's known as the five hindrances, and I'll just name them again. We just met them last week, though the truth is we've all met them on many occasions. They're often quite regular traveling companions for most of us. And they go by different names, but in essence, they're typically called desire, ill will, or aversion, sloth and torpor, not words we hear very frequently in modern English, restlessness, and doubt. So, you know, these are habits of mind that we all experience. You may already know that there's one track that is visited more frequently in your mind. I know I have one or two that the marble rolls into that rut with much greater frequency. But we all know each of these at some point. We have known and will know. And these habits of mind, you know, they're often called hindrances. The actual word in Pali often is translated as like coverings. It's like these are the habits of mind that obscure, you know, that really obscure our clarity, our compassion, our brightness of mind. And you know, they're not to be judged or demonized. They're often strategies that are really trying in some way to protect us from suffering. Often not as successfully as we would like. But, you know, they're ways of trying to bring us more ease and peace. And so as we look at these in the coming weeks, we're going to take a deeper dive into each one and also look at what are some of the antidotes, what are some of the ways we can skillfully work with these habits as we recognize them more. So the first one's desire. And desire is, often has that quality of wanting in the guided meditation, even that gentle invitation to notice, like when the mind wanders, it's often chasing something. You know, the mind is easily distracted, isn't it? It loves chasing shiny objects. Ooh, what's for lunch? Ah, wanting. Oh, wow, if I can make it through my afternoon tonight, I get to watch my favorite TV show. Oh, wanting. You know, or there's discomfort in the body, so I think I'm just going to daydream about, oh, my garden. What am I going to plant this year? And there's a measure often of pleasure or comfort. You know, we're wanting distraction. We're wanting to be comfortable or at ease. We're wanting to be entertained. You know, the breath is often not so fancy or exciting, right? So the mind's like, ooh, that's interesting. And there's a really beautiful description. There's a book of wisdom, teachings of the Buddha called the Dhammapada. And let me see if I can find these few lines that offer such a nice description of this. I may or may not find it. We'll see. If I can't find it in this moment, I'll find it for our closing reflection. But there's this wanting, right? This chasing. All right, I'm wanting these words and I'm going to let them go. So, you know, this is it. And desire sometimes gets a bad rap, actually. You know, I think there's this perception that in our practice, there should be this purity of not wanting anything, you know, that somehow we're supposed to rise above desire. And actually, desire is really relatively neutral. And the invitation is more to look at where are we channeling our desire or our energy? What are we following? You know, because really there had to have been some energy of desire for you all to show up here today, right? Like there was some motivation, there was some interest, right? There was some desire, and desire of a wholesome nature, right? There's something in the nourishment of what's here that spoke to you, right? So it's really an invitation in looking at these hindrances, not to get rid of our desire, but to bring more awareness to it. Where are we spending our desire? Where are we cultivating our interest? And it doesn't mean you don't ever get to eat chocolate again or enjoy things in life, but to also begin to recognize, to have more wisdom that chocolate is a fleeting happiness, right? It's a fleeting source of contentment. I personally love chocolate, you know, it's, and what I love watching in the desire around that, and I recently sat a retreat which offers a simplification of stimulation to look at this in more detail. It's like to watch what motivates that reaching for it. Oh, I'm bored. And so this will bring something that's like stimulating or interesting, or I'm anxious or nervous, and I'm looking for a little bit of that like comfort that a piece of chocolate might bring, that my nervous system associates with, you know. Or in daily life, you know, you may practice this too. It's like, I've worked really hard and I want a reward, you know, and it's like, just to really be aware, what would be rewarding or what would actually be settling, you know, when there's more awareness at the end of a long day, I can watch, you know, that part of me that says, oh, it'd be so nice to just check out and watch a Netflix rerun. You know, maybe that doesn't happen for you, but happens for me. And what I can really be aware of is if I watch that desire for like deep nourishment that arises, I'm like, oh, I want to just relax. If I bring awareness to that moment of wanting, what I can notice is that even if I pause and say, I'm going to just sit here and breathe for even a couple minutes, like not even committing to a full, you know, half hour of meditation practice after a busy work day, that's often more nourishing than the half an hour on Netflix. Or that few minutes of pausing lets me really listen in, like, what do I really need in this moment? Oh, you know, actually getting up and going for a walk around the block would be more nourishing than just automatically seeking to be entertained. So it's this relationship with desire that we're invited to be curious about, to investigate, and to actually get to know, when's it a hindrance? When does it get in the way of my deeper well-being? And when does desire actually point me in a direction that is energizing, enlivening, clarifying, that brings more stability for meeting this life? And this is a practice. It's not like we master the hindrances and we overcome them. We deepen a commitment to be in relationship with them, you know, to be in relationship with our habits of mind, so that they're not simply driving the bus, right? Automatic pilot. That's how they operate most of the time, in the background and like momentum, right? And all of a sudden we're doing something and it's like, how did I get here? Oh, I just followed wanting, you know, followed wanting. And all of a sudden there's a bowl of ice cream in front of me and I didn't really think about it. And it's not necessarily bad. It's like if we eat a bowl of ice cream with full presence, it can be really joyful and enlivening. And we can have that fleeting experience and take whatever energy is in it. But if we do it and we're like reading our email and we're halfway through the bowl of ice cream, that's a hindrance. That's a hindrance. That's not an alive, fully present experience. So this is what I want to invite us to play with. And those of you who are here with regularity know that I often, at this point, will allow for optional time in breakout groups. You don't have to join, but if you would like to, I'll set them up, and even just taking like, you know, 6 minutes or so together in a group to talk, you know, about this relationship with the hindrances in a broad sense, or more specifically today, desire, the wanting mind, and when it serves and when it hinders, and anything that you might want to, you know, deepen into in your relationship. So I will set up some rooms of two or three, and then you'll have the chance to join, and then we'll come back here for some final comments, and if I can find those words, I'll share them with you, and if not, I'll just, they're an offering into the universe. So, yeah, you'll have 6 or 7 minutes. Enjoy each other if you like. And if not, you're welcome to stay in this main space. And see you soon. Welcome back. Folks trickle in at their own speed. So, we'll wait for the other folks to join us in just a few seconds. Welcome back, friends. So lovely to have this time together. And, you know, I'm curious if there's anything that wants to be spoken out of the collective wisdom here, something that was illuminated through your practice or through the breakout conversation. Thank you, Gabriella. And thank you, Jeremy. Like, here it is. This is the richness, right? This is the richness of desire in the moment. In the moment. Anything else? Beautiful. Yeah, so when we can just sort of feel into what lands from these teachings and really trust, you know, the seeds that get planted that we can water to deepen our practice on the cushion, off the cushion. So what I might invite, you know, this week, if you wish, is to carry, you know, these curiosities with you, to maybe explore desire when it shows up in your practice or in your life, and to explore your relationship with it and to really explore, you know, where are you aligning the compass bearings of your heart? Like, what are you placing your faith and energy in? You know, is it in distraction? Is it in, you know, sensual pleasure? Is it in your practice? Is it in caring? You know, and it's not that there's right and wrong answers. It's just bringing more and more awareness to how we're moving through the world. And I didn't find the exact words I was looking for, but I found some words I'll leave you with. And I always trust the teachings that what's supposed to be offered will come. So this one's a foundational teaching, and many of you may have heard some version of this. All experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a corrupted mind, and suffering follows as the wagon wheel follows the hoof of the ox. You know, so it's like the cart just follows the mind. And then the second teaching, all experience is preceded by mind, led by mind, made by mind. Speak or act with a peaceful mind, and happiness follows like a never departing shadow. So, looking at these hindrances in the coming weeks, this is about knowing our mind, knowing the direction of our mind, and moving towards a place where peace follows us like a shadow or a friend, you know, rather than suffering. So, blessings on your week. I hope some of you will, you know, drop in for other chapters of this exploration of the hindrances. We'll be with it for at least the next 4 weeks. So take good care, and may you have a gentle week. I know there's so much in this world right now.